How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to week 10 of the Are You the One Wrap Up podcast of season 7. I'm your co-host. Yes, that is me. I have a male's voice, even though it's hard to tell sometimes. It's Adam Bongiovanni, and I'm here with my special guest co-host, Matt Ligori. Matt, thank you so much for joining us, and how are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm devastated that it's at the cost of having Allie out for a week. You know, it's pretty selfish of her to, you know, be studying for midterms instead of reporting on the insane things going on in the Are You the One house. Totally kidding, Allie. Love you. Miss you. But I'm so excited that I get to be here finally talking to you on a podcast for the first time after, what is this, like 2 years now that we've known each other, that we've been friends, that
we've talked on the phone so many times and had so, like, we used to Skype during the So You Whatever.
Yeah, like I was in Disney World, like with my friend, like we were walking around Epcot, and I'm texting you about So You Think You Can Podcast, like that's making sure that we're getting the votes in, making sure that, you know, I miss
dude,
being
what
a campaign
what a
manager.
Time, man. That was like, I was actually, I forgot, I think during the whole Tyler Crispin situation from the other day, I was looking up like So You Think You Could Podcast and all that. What a time. That was like a good month of like craziness.
It's crazy,
like,
because, yeah, like not only was it So You Think You Can Podcast, like it was Big Brother Over the Top. And it's so easy to just forget the insanity of that because it's been so long and because there hasn't been another one. And it's not like anyone goes back and talks about like, hey, remember Big Brother Over the Top with Jason and Morgan? Now that we might soon, because Morgan's had some stuff going on.
She's been doing things.
Yeah, it's such a time that like we forget about, and some people might want to forget about. I don't know.
I do sometimes, but for the most part, like I think that me and you've spoken on the phone. I would say like we would Skype for at the end of those like podcasts for like hours and hours and like prepare.
Yeah.
So like we've talked a lot, but we've never done it in recorded fashion. This seems kind of like it's pushing away our intimacy, and now we're just out in the open.
It's a little scary because I feel like we might say something that we normally might just say.
Oh,
like,
I'll
you know,
say it. Oh, we're saying it. Right, we're saying those things.
But I mean, look at you. I'm so happy for you that you've been killing it on the Are You the One podcast ever since then.
Yeah.
I figured you would get your shot talking about something. I'm just so glad it's like the trashiest show that we cover here on the Rob is a Podcast Network.
It's true though. Like I feel like after the contest, I'm like, oh, like what am I gonna do? And here I am, 2 years. I think it's 2 years, almost 2 years to like the day, talking about the shittiest of shit shows. So I'm glad that it's come full circle. Well, now you're on the podcast with me, so now we both could talk about the shittiest of shit shows.
We've both come a long way since the last time. You know, when we first started this whole friendship, I remember you asking me like, oh, why don't you do this stuff? Like, why don't you go on the podcast? And I was always like, I don't know. No one wants to hear what I have to say. And there was just like never an opportunity to jump in. But then I guess with the morning updates, you know, things just kind of happen. So I don't know. Here we are, two people talking about things that probably, you know, nobody's listening to because Allie's not here this week.
Exactly. And it's so funny that like it was somehow we both met through Big Brother in a way. And now we're talking about Are You the One? And yeah, you podcast more than I do. Like you post all the time about all the different shows you're doing, and you're a big blogger now. So like, I'm glad.
Yeah, big full time blogger. You know, check out my People Magazine articles.
Oh, you and Andrea Belke, you collaborate on articles. That's
me
really, that's
and
really
Marie
sweet
and Polly. We've got the big the big blogs covered all across the internet.
Yeah, you guys are killing it. Polly, Marie, and Andrea. So let's jump into Are You the One? So are you caught up on the whole season? I know you said you had you want to rewatch the last episode to kind of get into things, but are you kind of like caught up on the happenings of the house going into this episode?
Yeah, I'm as caught up as I ever could be. I'm kind of like an Are You the One casual. I've always been. I didn't watch the first 5 seasons until like the 6th season was about to start, or maybe it's the first 4 seasons or something. I don't really remember. But then I binged all of the seasons, you know, really enjoyed them. And then I caught up live for whatever it was, 5 or 6. And then this season, I started a little bit late into the season, but I've caught up, I've binged. And just overall, I got to say, I've just been loving this cast. I know that people have been like taking issue with certain things of like, you know, the format is a little different. I get that. But what I look for in any reality show, Big Brother, Survivor, The Challenge, Are You the One, whatever it is, I need characters that are going to bring entertainment to my television night after night, and these guys are bringing it, so I've been really enjoying it.
And that's what I talk to Allie about. Like, we talk about, like, the different, like, Survivor, Big Brother. I feel like I watch those shows for drama, but most, like, for strategy, too. For Are You the One, like, I really watch for the craziness. Like, I don't want to turn on Are You the One. Like, I wonder what their matchup ceremony strategy is going to be this week. I feel like the purpose of the show is to provide you with craziness. And I think you have to kind of take it for face value. Like, don't look too into it. Like, of course, there's strategies that could be played differently. But at the end of the day, it's a bunch of young Instagram models fighting each other for love and money. Like, what else could you want?
Right. I mean, I remember I'd had conversations with Taryn Armstrong about Are You the One, about MTV reality shows, because people used to suggest to him, like, hey, Are You the One is actually a show that you would enjoy because there's strategy and, like, you know, they're working out all these, all the math that they're doing to get to the, to find out who the perfect matches and stuff. And when he told me that, I was like, no, you wouldn't like this show. Like, cause he doesn't like the, and I've tried to tell him that he would like the challenge, and, like, he's just worried about the fact that, like, he doesn't really care for all of, you know, like the hookups and intense, like, you know, they're going out and partying, and, like, that's not why he's watching these shows. Exactly. So I was like, yeah, Are You the One is not your show. Like, the challenge you would still find enjoyment in, but Are You the One is just complete trash TV. And I mean, I love every second of it.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's good to differentiate. Like, the strategy should not be, like, bolded and underlined for Are You the One. Like, if you're a fan of strategy TV, I don't think Are You the One is the show for you.
Yeah.
Unless it could be a guilty pleasure, but I don't think it's probably your main thing.
Yeah.
So that makes – I'm glad you found a love with Are You the One. I also started watching later. I started watching in season 4 because of – like, there was, like, Dario on the challenge and all those randos. And I was like, okay, where are they coming from? So I just kind of – that – hey, it worked. It got me watching Are You the One. And now I like saying, oh, like, maybe they'll be on the challenge. And we'll touch on that, like, who from this – Yes. We think will be on the challenge. So starts off with a matchup ceremony with not the matchup ceremony, the truth booth with Tevin and Kenya. Going into this, did you think that there was any shot that they weren't a perfect match?
Like, not even slightly. I don't know if any of them thought that there was any chance that it wasn't. Like, they had that whole situation mapped out, you know, the week before where those two couples, you know, they had the whole ceremony planned around those two couples. And then the third couple was Tevin and Kenya. And it was like, all right, well, they're not involved in this, but they are still probably a match. And then, you know, the power of the fate button put them, you know, magically into the same date, the same group date, like you guys talked about last week. Like crazy how that happened.
Right,
and then, ridiculous. And then, you know, the two of them went into the booth, and it's like, you know, 99.999% chance that that they're going to be a perfect match. And then the whole house celebrates, like, oh my God, this is so crazy.
Like, they never knew. Like, that's never going to happen. And also, before the celebration, I don't know if you noticed, Callie was sitting in between Brett and Tomas, and, like, that's, like, her weird, like, a little kind of love triangle thing. So that was not lost on me. Like, I want to definitely call that out.
Yes.
So, boom, they're a perfect match. Will we all celebrate? To me, like, the celebration, like, I don't really give a shit about the celebration. Like, I just feel like it's a waste of, like, a minute 30 seconds that, like, really doesn't matter. Like, cool, you're a perfect match. Like, that's fun. But I feel like it does nothing. Like the house is all happy together.
Oh,
I don't want to watch for that.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're going to get your highs and lows. Like, the end of the episode's always going to end with, like, I can't believe we didn't get more matches. Like, we only got 4. Like, we always get 4. And it's like, all right, well, like, you're still learning things every time that you do these. Like, you're not going to get 10 matches by week 6, even though at the end of week 6, they're still going to be like, oh, we're not doing well. Like, we're never going to get this right. So I, you know, you're going to get the really dramatic lows as much as you're going to get the oh my God highs. So
yeah, and Are You the One, I feel like it has a very similar trajectory every season.
Yes,
like up, oh, they do good, oh, they do bad. Oh, like, it's like, and of course I know that's like one or the other, but you'll never see an Are You the One season where it's like up 3 ceremonies in, wow, 11 perfect matches or whatever it is, up, you guys won the money. Like, obviously they need a TV show, so like I get it, like it makes sense. But at the same time, like, cool, they celebrated, great, fun. Then I guess we cut to the next day, and Quasi's setting up like a little picnic basket for Jasmine. I don't know if you've listened to the podcast, but Quasi, I've seen him at the gym numerous times, and like, it's so funny because it was him and then Kareem from last season also goes to my gym.
Yes.
So I've seen them. It's just bizarre that the only show I podcast about, like, and any reality show has 2 people from my town. So whenever I talk about Quasi, like, now I'm trying to be like, okay, like, I'm trying to be like objective. At the same time, I'm like, I don't want this guy to beat the shit out of me.
No, my favorite running storyline from the Are You the One podcasts are who you see at your gym and the fact that you don't invite them to come onto the podcast and how much you disappoint your co-host every single time. I'm happy that you're engaging with some of these. Well, you're not even engaging with them. I'm happy that you're seeing some of these people that we can acknowledge that they are real people. Have you ever gone to the gym and seen Quasi like throwing a huge temper tantrum and knocking things over and crying? Has that ever happened?
No, he's okay. So he's very like at the gym. I feel like there's people that are kind of like walk around like their shit.
You just stare at him the whole time.
I make sure not to ogle him or whatever the word I'm looking for there. I make sure not to like awkwardly like just stare in his direction.
You have so many pictures of him on your phone that you.
I was actually considering doing that and sending to Allie, and then I'm like, what are the odds? Like he looks over and says, "What the fuck are you doing, kid?" And like looks at me, and I'm like, "Oh no, don't worry. I do a podcast where I talk about you all the time."
Right, and then
like,
he listens, and then he gets those pictures, and then he beats the crap out of you.
Yes, it'll happen. So that's
and then
like,
you make out with Jasmine, and then he actually murders you.
Oh my God. If I made out with Jasmine, I really think that like he would find me at the gym and like hang me from like one of like the pulley
machines. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. But I see, it's not impossible. Yeah. So anyway, so Quasi, like he's at the gym, like he seems very calm, very chill. So when I saw this whole episode, and I know we'll get like way deeper, I was going to say deeper into Quasi, it just sounds weird.
Whoa.
We're just a very sexual podcast.
Yes.
But we'll get like more into that later.
Yes.
But I see on the gym and he's very calm. Sorry, I'm choking on my own breath.
On Quasi.
Oh my God. Wow. Like good. You took, that was good though. I can give you credit there, Matt. That was good. I was hoping you kind of picked
it
up.
We're 10 minutes into this thing and I feel like I've lost my mind already.
Oh, welcome to Are You the One?
Thank you.
So yeah, Quasi's like, he seems very chill, like kind of keeps to himself. But the whole reason I'm a little nervous because last season, first half of the season, I bashed Kareem. I was like, this guy's a nut.
Yeah.
He's crazy. Then the second half, I'm like, this guy's the best person on TV. We need him on the challenge. Then when E-Money came on, I know you listen to this one.
Yeah, best podcast I've ever heard, like in my entire life. Like top five,
sure.
Top three, top one. That was
top
amazing.
One,
like
sure.
I followed Ethan on Instagram for a while now. So when I found out he was coming on, so excited and completely delivered.
I don't think he even knows to this day that the podcast is out. Like I emailed him. I don't know if he's ever seen it. Anyway, I don't know. But so he was like, oh, Kareem was the best. And I'm like, ah, damn. Like, and then Allie just throws me under the bus. And she's like, yeah, like Adam hated Kareem. He used to bash him all the time. And I'm like, damn it, Allie, he's going to tell him. And now he's going to beat the shit out of me.
Why
but
are you
I'm so
worried
so
about
good.
All these Are You the One people coming and finding you and beating the shit out of you? That's not going to happen.
Because I'm a prime 5'8". These guys are all like 6'2", 6'3", like pure muscle.
Yeah, but Allie has said this many times, like they are not interested in like the podcast clowns that are just ragging on them about a silly reality show. I think
low key I want them to be like, I think low key I want to be thrust in this crazy world of.
Jeez,
I told her this. I'm like, when we had E-Money on before, we need to start getting some beef going. Like we need to start like talking shit and like letting Zach hear we're bashing him every week. But so far nothing. Maybe in the few, maybe this podcast will set us up. So Quasi Jasmine up. Oh, wow, so cool. They're on a little picnic day. Mm-hmm. Like that's adorable. Wow, first guy to ever do that. Then she makes like an obscure punk reference. Did you hear that? Where she's like, "Oh, Ashton Kutcher should be here."
Absolutely,
like,
yes.
I was so taken back by that. I'm like, okay, what year is this? Like, I feel like punk hasn't like the original hasn't aired in at least a good decade
for sure. But it's the show has definitely worked its way into like common references, like how like you know that you've been like hanging out with your friends like you know before and just been like, oh, I feel like I'm being punked right now. Like it's become like that show lasted for what? I mean, it was so iconic at the time, but it didn't last that long. I feel like I want to say
right.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But yeah, it's like it's become like a thing.
No, you're right. Like I feel like, oh, I'm getting punked. Like I just haven't heard that in a while, so I was kind of impressed with her obscure reference. He says he likes talking to her, wants to solidify things so that she doesn't look at other guys. She's all about it. She's like, oh, no, you're right. And he's like, nope, I'm not. I don't want you to. I want you to be me and you. Mm. Let's keep it me and you forever. He really keeps saying that over and over. It's almost like the editors are kind of like foreshadowing something in the future where it's not going to be just him and her. But we'll see. Okay, before the craziness that will ensue the rest of the episode, did you think, or do you still think that they were a beam before you knew about Jasmine's future date? Like, did you think that they were a beam?
I kind of did, just because, you know, looking at all of the couples that kind of kept pairing together, I kind of forget about the fact that, like, if they only have four beams, that means that they're not all perfect matches, even though, like, they're sitting with the same people every time. So it's just like, I see the same people sitting together and I'm like, oh, well, that's a couple. I don't think about the fact that, like, some of them are probably wrong. So I don't know. I just have it in my head that they were, but obviously, like, you know, it's that wasn't confirmed.
Yeah, I was also with you on that. I was kind of like, okay, like the Quasi hasn't really got, he's gotten edits with other girls, but it hasn't been anything like substantial. This was the first like real connection. Jasmine's only other person has been Tevin, and he just went to the honeymoon suite. So I'm like, okay, this makes sense. Like, how the edits are both leading, like, at least there's some storyline there. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But that was before everything happened.
I kind of, like, didn't love this scene just because I really, really don't like when a guy on one of these shows says to the girl, like, I don't want you to talk to any other guys. I don't want you to look at any other guys. Like, it's just you and me. Like, not only is that, like, awful for the show, because the point of the show, and, like, we'll obviously get into this later with everything else that goes on between these two. But, like, not only is the show about you have to talk to everybody and figure out who your match is or whatever, but, like, you're not an official couple. Like, she is free to talk to anybody she wants to. Like, enough with this. I don't want you to look at any other guy crap. Like, come on, Kwazi.
That's not even with Are You the One. I feel like this is such like a weird max masculinity thing that guys have.
You don't say.
Like, yeah, right. I feel like if you're okay, let's break it down a little bit. Let's start with Are You the One, then we'll go into real life. Are You the One? We always talk about it, and like, there's no such thing as like cheating on Are You the One. Like, you're literally on a dating show where you're going to hook up with a bunch of people. You're not official on Are You the One. There's Are You the One like dating, and then there's real life dating.
Yes.
Are You the One dating? You can do anything you want in real life. Even if you're dating someone, there's still allowed to talk to someone of the opposite sex. If you're that insecure where you have to make sure that your girlfriend doesn't talk to somebody the opposite sex just because they're dating you or talking to you, whatever, you really, really need to probably step out of that relationship and reevaluate yourself. Because if you're that insecure and you don't trust your significant other to talk to someone of that they could potentially like be attracted to, then obviously you're not secure in your relationship. So that just bothers me whenever guys, or and I'm not just limiting it to guys, but like, you should be able to talk to whoever you want when you're in a relationship, as long as you're not putting your tongue down their throat, you're having a conversation. There's a huge difference,
right? I mean, this scene was a pretty good way for setting up, you know, what's going to happen in the rest of the episode about, you know, he literally, like, there was a quote I remember him saying that, like, because I went back just to watch the scene again, and he was talking about, he's like, yeah, I'm just like, I'm a softie, but like, there's a beast inside of me. And then, like, by the end of the episode, the beast inside of him comes out.
Oh yeah, it definitely comes out, and it's honestly more than I could have anticipated. I did not expect this beast to, like, it was way more than I anticipated. So we'll get to that in a bit. Yes. So cool. They have their little picnic thing. Great. We then went cut to Asia and Cam, and they were talking about Sam's situation with Daniel, and then it cuts to like Bria bringing up that she thinks that Sam and Lewis are a match, and I've been saying that shit since day one. The first episode they had this edit where Sam and was like, "Nah, you're not my match to Lewis," and he's like, "Ah, you don't know."
Right.
I swear they're a match, dude. They have to be a match.
They're like the most ridiculous people in the house, like on both sides, like of the women and of the men. Like, Sam is like the most out there girl. And then, you know, Lewis is just like this insane guy. So it does make sense. But it's just like I said before, like, once I'm seeing all these couples, I see Samantha and Daniel together all the time. I see Lewis and I don't know. Lately he's been with Kayla, right? I don't know.
Maybe I don't know.
Is it Kayla? I don't know. There's like before I like actually started to go back into these episodes, there was like three girls that I was like, I have never seen this person on the show before. Still don't have any clue who Lauren is. I know that she's there, and I know that she's been sitting with Andrew, but like, God, it's crazy how many Bachelor Laurens there are, and then they get one on Are You the One, and she's just like completely invisible. I feel bad for this girl. Like, I genuinely feel bad for her. Like, she's probably like, there's no way she's ever been in a truth booth, right? She's never gonna get picked for the fate button.
No.
Has she been picked? Maybe
one. She was on one date with Lewis, actually.
It's insane.
And she fell off a horse. That was
How do I not remember that?
What episode, early on, maybe? It was probably first three, maybe. And I just remember her being, that's really what I remember.
It was
and
a
she
while
was
ago.
With, the, you said, the guy Andrew, and like they kind of had a one truth booth, and not truth booth, one confessional where they like talked, and like it was like, oh, they're together.
Yeah.
And then both of them have kind of just like slipped under the rug, and you'll probably never hear
yes
them.
I feel like this might be the only time I get to talk about Andrew, but I really love Andrew. I don't know why, but I'm into the Andrew.
So what do you, okay. Because we haven't really seen much of Andrew. We've seen like weird little snippets of him. Like, he'll have a confessional every now and then, or I'll say something to someone and they'll take like one line of what he's saying.
Yes.
So we've never really seen deeper. All we know is he is a really, really jacked guy with, I think he has like a Boston accent. I'm not entirely sure. And I only noticed that tonight. Some sort of accent. So that's what we know about Andrew. So is there anything you specifically like about him? You're just like, you know what? I like that guy. He seems awesome.
No, I just, you know, anybody who can give like good confessionals and, you know, he's not involved in too much of the drama, so it's not like I get my entertainment from him out of that. But it's just like, you know, I like when we cut to him and there's something crazy going on, and he's just like, this is so crazy. Like, these guys are just losing their minds. And it's like, I don't know. It's nice, you know, compared to like when we cut to Lauren and, you know, we need to give her a few minutes of screen time, and she's just quietly existing on the show. So
yeah, she's not going to give much.
Yes.
But you know what? I think that's the risk you have to take when you go on Are You the One. That there's a good chance that there's about three or four people that are really not going to get ahead.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. Like, I'm totally fine. The fact there's like, what, 22 people in the show. Like, you can't feature all 22 as strongly as the others. And this season, like I said earlier, has some strong characters and some big personalities that, like, I really can't. Like, I would be so surprised if not, like, if five of these people don't make it onto The Challenge or X on the Beach or some future shows. Like, they found some insane people for this season, and I don't know. I will get, you know, I guess we'll talk about it later, but I really hope a lot of them come back.
Yeah, it's weird. The last few seasons, the Are You the One have not been featured on The Challenge too much.
I know, and what's up with that?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed because season six was insane, and I really think there's so many gems that they're missing out on. I'm hoping that they still make a move on them in the future, but I guess we'll see. So Samantha and Dan, how do you feel about them? Do you think there's a potential for them being a perfect match? Now, I already said that I think Sam's perfect match is Lewis. I don't think Sam and Dan are a perfect match, but I want to see how you feel about that.
I just love them together. I think they're hysterical. Last week when she gave him that little scavenger hunt, and you were on the podcast, you were like, why did she make him do push-ups? Like, she said, she's like, I wanted to go get him all sweaty, and because he smelled like, I like the way his sweat smells. I'm I love these two weirdos. Like, I just together. Maybe not. I don't know how I would like Dan on his own, but Samantha is just so great. And, you know, the two of them together, they're a perfect match in my heart, whether or not the Beam and the Truth Booth want to tell them that they are, in my heart, the two of them are going to go live happily ever after.
And that's all that matters, because at the end of the day, you'll probably never hear from either of them again. So
No. We need Sam back on some show.
Oh, last week, I think she showed that she should be on some sort of X on the Beach Challenge, whatever it is. We need her. I agree. We need her somewhere. Yes. Danny, like a little bit doubt. He just seems kind of nice, boring idiot sometimes.
His replacement level.
Yeah, definitely replacement level. So, okay, cool. They talk about Sam and Dan for a bit. Okay, we move on to the matchup ceremony. Ooh, so exciting. It's really, really, like, new, and so much is going to happen.
I mean, they're switching things up a little bit this week. They're going to try some new stuff.
Yeah, but they're going to try it. But will the outcome change? I guess we'll have to wait and find out for the next 30 seconds before we talk about it. So, okay, so we'll go through the picks real quick. Asia picks Daniel, and then we'll after I go through all of them, we'll kind of go off and talk in tangents and dive deeper. So Asia picks Daniel. Lauren picks Cam. Bria picks Lewis. Sam picks Andrew. Kayla picks Mo. Callie picks Zach. Morgan picks Tomas. And Nutza picks Brett. And then Jasmine's paired up with Quasi, who she probably would have picked anyway, but maybe not. So the main thing I took from this was that Zach apologized to Morgan for being a dick. Morgan says she doesn't understand.
He really
Zach.
Apologized. He meant everyone.
He was heartfelt. He was so heartfelt. You could just tell he felt awful and wanted to, like, he was practically getting on his knees and begging for her forgiveness.
Man, that guy is such a douche.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm glad, because we don't really see Zach too much in this episode. Assessment of Zach. So that's, you're just going with big douche.
Big douche. I don't see the appeal. I've asked around, because I don't know if it's just me that I'm just like, what is it with this guy? And there are people who are like, oh, well, he's just really hot. And like, I don't know.
Do you see that, though? I don't think he's that attractive. Like, I feel like it may be, like, I'm just, I don't get it. All the girls are trying to, like, hook up with Zach. Like, it seems very clear. They all think he's really attractive. E-Money even said after the show, that's who all the girls are going after. He seems like a bland white guy, and he's admitted to having a dad bod. So I guess maybe it's the fact that he's, like, normal, like, and he's not, like, super duper good looking. Maybe that's what it is, but that's the only thing I can wrap my head around.
I don't know. He's a major douche, and, you know, there's got to be one in every cast. There's one in every bunch. So, you know, it's okay. Like, not like offended that he's on my screen or anything like that. But what a guy. What a guy that is.
What a guy. He must have a golden penis, because all the girls keep running after him. He's got to have something going on. So he apologized to Morgan. Morgan's like, screw off, which we all know doesn't. It's so funny, Matt. I actually asked in my notes. I said, ask Matt, will Morgan stay away from Zach? And I literally, she did not give you a chance to answer that.
No.
She jumped his bones within, I would say, the next 24 hours.
Yes.
But up until this moment, did you believe that she would stay away from him?
No. The two of them are just so magnetically drawn to each other. Do we know, like, they haven't gotten into a truth booth or anything, so we don't know if they're a match or not, but I don't know whether they are or not. They are clearly very into each other. Ever since Zach, you know, got Bria off of his side, he's been very into her, but it's just like, because he's such a douche, like, he's not gonna give up talking to all the other girls and like kissing all the other girls and whatever he wants to do with everybody else. But at the end of the day, like, I don't know, whether it's just like a sexual chemistry that Morgan and Zach have between each other, which it seems like that is just it, because Morgan, you know, later on when they get back together again, and she's like, I'm not like sitting here like head over heels in love with the guy. Like, I'm a young woman who wants to go have sex with somebody. Like, is that a big deal? And no, of course it's not a big deal. So the fact that, you know, Asia and Bria were giving her shit about it is just kind of freaking annoying. I didn't want to curse. I feel like I'm still on like the Big Brother podcast, but
don't fucking curse. Honestly, we might not be allowed to curse. Like, I don't know the rules. I've never asked, so I just do it sometimes.
Right. No, I think it's okay.
Okay. Well, you go if you want to. You're more than welcome.
All right. Well, yeah. So that's Zach and Morgan. They're it's like the one couple that like I'm not entertained by, but you know, they're just there.
Yeah. So I would handle it differently if I was in like Bria's shoes or whoever it is, Asia, right? So I get what their thought process is, that okay, she's getting played by this douchebag. Like, but instead of yelling at her, right, and just being like, you're being an idiot, you look dumb, which is, I'm not saying it's not true, but all they would have to do is bring her to the side and say, look, Morgan, this guy is a player. He's going to lie to you. He's using you. You're so much better than that. I feel like you have a way better chance to get to someone when you talk to them rather than just scream at them in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah. I mean,
at the same time, there's a double standard. No, it's okay. There's a completely big double standard here with nobody's going to think Zach looks like a douche nobody's going to think Zach looks like an idiot because he's a guy, you know, and it's like, oh, he's just playing her like she should know. But I feel like, if she's being genuine, and I don't know if she is, if she's just looking for sex and like that's her prerogative, she could do that. But the thing is, do we know if is she actually doing that, or is she really just trying to get back with him?
I mean, I feel like she seems like a smart girl. She knows that they have to play the game. She knows that, you know, they're all freaking out because they're not getting enough beams or whatever. I'm not convinced that she's like actively trying to like ignore the game or anything like that. Like, she just has this guy in the house that she's really into. He's really into her. And if they want to have sex at the end of every day, like, whatever, like, let them live. And the fact that like the annoying part about all of this is that like, who she's getting reprimanded from are these two girls, Asia and Bria, who I gotta say, like, the entire beginning of the season, I was like all in on Asia, all in on Bria. Bria was such a mess, and so like I eat that up, like the complete train wreck, like, give me all of that. And Asia is just, I mean, I still like her. She's still an entertaining personality. I think that I would like to see her on another show sometime, but it's just so frustrating, the fact that, you know, like, what are you two doing so much better than the rest of the house that you have the right to like to yell at them because they're messing up and they're not following their heart and they're not playing the game? Like, where are you guys with your perfect matches that are confirmed? Like, you're still sitting with different people. You don't know what you're doing. Like I've yet to see, especially Asia, like, have like a strong connection with somebody where it's like, all right, now you have the right to yell at everybody else and say that they're doing their job wrong. Like, chill.
Yeah, I know. I'm completely with you on that. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of double standard like that happened in there, the one house. It's just, I feel like we're never going to get away from it.
Yes.
But it comes down to, they get two beams onto the two that they already had, which is not great for having two ceremonies left. Everyone's upset. Maria freaks out because she's like, I found my match in week one. You idiots.
Calm down, Maria.
I know. It's like, who are you, Maria? Like, come on. Like, you're not even in the house anymore. I feel like she doesn't have much to say.
Like, maybe she was just like the most, like, her, those two were the most boring. And then the producers, obviously, you know, with the fate button, they get to pick whoever they want to put in. And they were like, let's just get these guys out of here. Like, if we put the four, you know, they were two out of the four people on a group date. It's like, there's a 50-50 shot that they're going to end up getting, you know, put into the truth booth. And then we just get them out of the house. Like, they have to get some people out of the house eventually.
Exactly.
So calm down with the whole, I did this right.
Yeah, exactly. Last season at six, they waited so long, and everyone was in the house till like the last two episodes. It was or maybe even the last episode. I don't know. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So, but they probably were like, okay, like, we do need to start cutting this number down to focus on the people we want to focus on. So I wouldn't be too surprised if the producers kind of were like, okay, like, Marie and Shamoy, they're great for each other. They have a great connection. Like, let's get them out. They're not really going to contribute much more because they're together.
I'll never forgive season five for getting Cam out of the house so early, because her and Eddie matched up like super early, and then Cam was gone for like the entire season besides the matchups. Like luckily she has found her spot on reality television, and you know, that's amazing because she's great on the challenge. But yeah, never gonna forgive them for that one.
I forgot about that she actually did go home.
Yeah, Cam was like not even on the season.
Yeah, she went with Eddie, who is also a challenger. I feel like you forgot to mention that.
Yeah, Eddie and his notorious season of the challenge that he appeared on for all of that time.
All of that. Yeah, he was featured in a lot of episodes. But it's what a all-star pairing. No, so yeah, it is funny that some people just kind of, I guess they fade into, I was going to say obscurity, but
that's oblivion. Fine.
Yeah, obscurity makes sense.
Yeah.
So like Marie and Shamoy, like I really don't remember much about them. I feel like they were kind of boring as it was. So yeah. You know what? I'm not going to, we already talked about them more now than we probably did when they were a perfect match.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
you know what? Good for them.
She's freaking out. She's like, you guys only got four beams. Like, do you know any idea what you're doing? Calm down.
It's like, obviously they don't. If they did, they would be have 11 beams.
Yes.
So
she was not happy.
No. So who do you think the beams are? I'll go first, and then because I put the answers in my notes.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I took the notes middle of the episode. So I have Quasi and Jasmine, who now at this point, once again, I don't know. And then I have Kayla and Mo because they have an edit. I feel like with reality TV, as much as I don't like trying to read the edit, it's like, okay, who has a story up until this
point?
Like I know Are You the One's been infamous for putting random people together, but everyone at least has some sort of background to why they got mm-hmm. there for the most part. So I'm trying to just go off of that. So those are the two couples I had. Do you have any different couples?
Kayla picking Mo is like my favorite like normal moment of the episode outside of all the blowups and stuff, because yeah. You know, poor Mo has been sitting here not getting you know, no one's talking to him, he's not getting his connections, and then you have all the freaking asshole guys who are like, oh, you're just not trying hard enough, you gotta like go up to them and like force them to like you, and it's like, all right, that's not what we're doing here. So and it, like, you know, it's become pretty clear that he's had some interest in Kayla. You know, he brought her on that date, and he's like, you know, he's like, I felt like we connected, I don't know if she does, and it just seems like she hasn't been giving him the time of day because she's just looking around at like, she's like, oh, but look at all these hotter guys that are in the house that I want to hang out with instead. So when she picked him, I was very happy for him, and I agree with you. I feel like they probably are one of the beams. I feel like I'm on board with the fact that, you know, the story just seems to be working towards that direction, because I mean, unless we're just gonna drop Mo off with some random person at the end, it's like, all right, well, this is Mo's very small little story about how you know, the girl finally accepted him and picked him for to, you know, to sit next to. So
yeah.
I hope that they're there.
You're right. I think that like it's, and this, I feel like Mo would be me on Are You the One. Like I'm so not like the type of guy that's gonna be like, oh, let's go bang. Like I'm just like super like, I feel like that's like just, I'm not gonna go up to a girl at a bar and be like, what are you doing, baby? Like it's just not me.
Yeah.
So like I feel like I'd be Mo. Like I'd be like, oh guys, don't worry, I'll clean. Like I'm good. if anyone wants to help out, you can. Oh nope. Okay, yeah, cool. Like you guys drink.
It's like super uncomfortable to be like watching every time that like pretty much all of his scenes, just because it's always like him, like I feel bad for him, and then I just get annoyed when the other guys are like pressuring him to, you know, to do whatever he's not obviously very comfortable doing. Like I mean, it's not an ideal situation, but it's become obvious that like none of the girls in the house are that into him, and you know, maybe off the show, maybe he'll form a connection with somebody, but like just in the house, he's just a quieter guy. These other guys are so much louder. They're walking around with these like incredible bodies and stuff. And like, I don't know, like, you know, the nice guy usually gets like the last pick, or like they come to find him after they're done dealing with like the douchebags.
The douchebag. Yeah. After she has sex with the douchebag in the boom boom room, she'll go find Mo and be like, oh, Mo, that's so, I just want to hang out with you and talk to you because you're my best friend.
Like no, it'll ultimately work out for him in the end. Like they say nice guys finish last, but I don't know. I'm feeling pretty optimistic for Mo.
That's nice. I'm glad you have like a, like you think it's, Mo will be on the up and up.
Does Mo go to your gym too? Maybe you can help him out.
No, he doesn't. I would be really happy because I feel like Mo's like a nice guy and he utilizes the punching bag, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. And you can take pictures of him too.
I've not taken pictures of Quasi yet. If it happens, you'll be the second to know because I got to text Allie first. but I get what you're saying. I just don't think that the kind of passive guys who are not really like wanting to go out and kind of get who they not. And I don't want to sound like a sex ass. Who's like, go get yours. But like,
yeah,
I
it's,
feel
it's
like
so hard
show,
to talk about like the relationships on these shows because like the point is like to get a guy to match up with a girl, and like the wording is
it is
can get a little tricky.
It is. So, like, what I mean is that, like, I feel like the show is made for guys who are kind of willing to have no shame and just kind of try to talk to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And I don't think the show is made for people who aren't. And I think Mo's somebody who, you know what, will probably make a girl really happy someday, but he's just not the type that's going to go up and, like, try to talk to as many girls as possible. It's just not him. But you know what? Maybe he'll get a few good friends from this.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, no. He was never going to thrive on this show. And, like, no. This was never going to be his breakout role where, you know, he's the star of the show or anything like that. But I guess, like, you do need, if you're gonna have 22 people in a house, like, having 11 guys all be like these alpha types that are like insane people, you know, that's probably not gonna work out. So balance, and that's what leaves us with Mo. But sorry, you know, that was a huge tangent. To go back to your original question, the other beam, I don't know. That was like 30 minutes ago, I know, but I don't remember what you said, but I feel like my gut was saying that it's still probably Jasmine and Quasi. No, yep. Maybe, you know.
I don't that's
know.
Who I said.
Yeah, just because the rest of them are so random. Them. I mean, Nuta and Brett, like, you know, there's still potential that the two of them could be one. But I don't know. Is Brett and Callie still an option? Or did they get confirmed that they're not? I don't remember. Is that one Brett of the ones Callie, that got confirmed? No?
I don't. Oh, yes. Because they went back into the truth booth. And this was a few weeks back. And I'm pretty sure it was them. And then, because Tomas was really nervous. I'm pretty positive they got confirmed no. Because he also was like, oh, maybe I will be. Maybe we will be a perfect match. Because they had like a talk on their date. Yeah. It did happen. Okay. There's so much that happens. Like, I never feel bad for not remembering things.
No, there's so many people. Like, it's like, imagine if you were talking about like Survivor and it was the beginning of the season. You know, you have 20 people in the game. And then imagine if you were in like week 11 of Survivor and you still had all 20 people in the game.
Yeah, right. Imagine a season where, like, just hypothetically, of course, on Survivor, where, like, it was, like, I don't know, post-merge, and, like, everyone who was on the game was kind of, like, or who got out of the game was, like, still in the game in a way.
Imagine
and, like,
how awful were, like, that would be if they were all still in the game.
No, the only way I feel like to make that worse is if you add, like, Joe Anglin to the cast. Like, that would probably be the only way to, like, make it worse.
This is getting eerily familiar sounding.
No, I don't think so. I think this is all on us. But speaking of Big Brother, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, so well, I won't go off on too many tangents. I don't even know where we are, dude. I'm going through my notes now. Like, oh,
Tyler
okay.
and Quasi.
Tyler.
Tyler and Angela.
Tangela. Okay, so we're actually at where, this pissed me off so much.
What?
So that we get back from the ceremony, right? And I'm sorry if I'm getting, like, loud and obnoxious, but that's just life.
You better
so
be
we get
sorry,
back from
yeah.
the we get back from the ceremony, and Quasi and Jasmine are in their confessional. And she's like, I don't know, 11 minus 2, what 11 minus 2 is. And he's like, oh, you're so cute, and tries to kiss her. I'm telling you right now, if I was hanging out with a girl, and she said, what's 11 minus 2 trying to be cute? I would say, you're an idiot. Like, that is the most not cute thing. Isn't intelligence attractive? Don't you want a girl who's like, oh, yeah, I could do all these different math equations. Like, that's awesome. I don't want to talk to a girl who's like, I don't know, 11 minus 2. Like, that's so stupid. I'm sorry. Like, I just think when you're looking for a significant other, you want an intelligent person. Being big dumb is not cute. It just pissed me off so much.
I don't know
much.
If you're on Tinder, but I really hope that your Tinder bio says, I want a girl that can do 11 minus 2 because that's awesome.
I am not on Tinder. I was a few years back, but I'm not on Tinder right now. And if I was on Tinder, I could guarantee that would not be my bio, because then
that's the only thing you look for in a girl, that she can do 11 minus 2.
They'd be like, are you that creepy guy who podcasts, but are you the one and watches the cast members at the gym? So I can't, like, allude to that. So I'm going to keep that out of any bios anytime soon, Matt. But
I feel so bad.
Like,
I really hope the day never comes where you find out that none of these cast members actually listen to you talking about
her
the one.
They don't. That's
especially
the only
when
good
Allie's
thing
not
here.
Here.
Oh, it's now we know. I think me and you are just talking to ourselves here.
That's
fine. I don't think anyone else will ever listen. If we get comments or positive reviews, I'll be very happy. So yes. We get to that little math equation. We get through that. Then Morgan says she doesn't respect Zach. It doesn't have an emotional connection to Zach, but is horny. And we've kind of touched on this already. I feel like we really don't need to revisit this situation. Yeah. But they end up sleeping together. Then the whole cast kind of blows up because the guys are mad at Zach. They're saying, you're not going to find your real connection if you're just screwing around with Morgan. Now, take Morgan out of the equation. Do you think the guys have a valid point for saying that Zach should stop messing around with this girl and kind of find who he's really matched with?
I mean, they're all at, you know, they're getting to the end of the game and they're all getting, like, you know, they're all on their high horses, you know, talking to each other about how you need to make sure that you're focused on the game and that you're not, you know, wrapped up in the person who you know or who you think is probably not your match or whatever. So it's kind of annoying, like, you know, like I was saying before about how Asia and Bria were getting on Morgan's case. Yeah. You know, it's annoying to hear any of them getting on each other's case because, you know, you're still at four beams, guys. Like you're not all figuring this out. And just because, like we said before, just because two people that have, you know, a connection, like a real life connection, are going out of their way to spend time with each other at the end of the night, like, just relax. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot more issues than just these two. Like, I get where they'd be upset about it, but at the same time, like, if people, I feel like just they're handling it in such a wrong way, so I'm just not a fan of
yeah,
how they're handling things. Well, okay, so we've talked about the Wheel of Fate. We're back to the Wheel of Fate, and they pick four people to go on this date, and everyone's like, oh, it's gonna be fate. It's, so we have Tomas and
who's
Cam.
Who's Fate? Is she, like, the other person?
Oh, yeah,
she's
probably gonna be matched up with Kwasi after what happened with Jasmine Knight. So Fate will be with Kwasi. So we have Tomas and Cam, and then Sam and Jasmine get picked for the date.
Yes.
Now, the funniest thing is this whole cast is like so confused. They're like, wow, this is like so dumb. Like, these are random people. But in reality, isn't this pretty much the producers handpicking that are most likely matched up together? Like, I'd be shocked if one of these couples on this date was not a perfect match at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that that's the case because, you know, the fact that the producers are working this button the entire season, like they have to be putting together people that are potential perfect matches. It's not going to be every week that that's the case. But it just feels like, you know, was it last week or the week before that they, you know, that they got to pick? I think it was 2 weeks ago that whoever it was, you know, they got to pick instead of just letting the button pick both sides of who was going on the date. So, you know, they have the production has to get this back on track eventually. So, yeah, I would agree with you that I feel like there had to be a match in here. It's just weird though, because like none of them look like they would be a match. Like, none of this makes sense at all.
And that's the only thing that I wonder about, because you get on this date and then it shows Cam really connecting with both girls in a different way. Like, oh, me and Sam are both independent, we might be a match together. Me and Jasmine, I guess they were getting along in some way, I don't remember exactly what it was. But then it shows Tomas with both girls and he's really not connecting with either of them. So maybe it seems like they wouldn't have shown that edit unless that was going to come into play. So I kind of have a feeling that Cam's with one of them. Obviously, we learned in the truth booth, he's not with Sam. And there's a great shot that Cam's perfect match is Jasmine after this whole episode. But I still think Tomas might have just been thrown in there to kind of throw people off so they can't look back and be like, oh, look at the producers did. Because I don't think the producers are that dumb where they're going to put everyone together.
Yeah. And now that we're at this part of the episode when we got to the date, I feel like I've been holding it back just because I didn't want to, like, you know, get ahead of myself. But holy crap, Jasmine is canceled. Like fully, like, period, end of sentence. Like Jasmine, I have zero interest in anything else that you have to say on the show, in life, ever. How dare you disrespect High School Musical like that? How dare you? If you're listening, I hope you understand that this is a irreplaceable, no, I'm sorry, a unfixed, like, I can't even speak clearly because I was just, this is when I texted you and I said, holy crap, this episode, because I was just so fired up.
I love it.
Jasmine,
love it.
Cool.
Give it to her, man.
Not cool. No, like, High School Musical is a great movie, a great series. Those of us, I mean, we're pretty much the same age as these people now, which is so weird. We grew up with High School Musical. I can't talk about High School Musical without talking about how the second one came out on my 13th birthday because it was like one of my favorite birthdays of all time. High School Musical means a lot to this generation. And if you ever try to tell somebody that they are a childish for still liking High School Musical, like, you are an awful person.
Yeah, that was honestly the most bizarre thing, because it's like, this is a girl who quoted Punk. Like, and I'm not saying that it's that different,
yes,
right? I mean, I'm not saying it's that similar, but it's like, okay, like, I feel like you should be able to appreciate this dude having kind of like a, like, enjoying like a Disney movie from back in the day. Like that's like saying, like, oh, yeah, SpongeBob is a douchebag. It's like, no, he's not. SpongeBob is awesome. So I don't know. Jasmine's priorities are all over the place. She also made a reference to one, it was Beauty and the Beast.
Yes,
I feel like that's way more childish than High School Musical.
I agree with that. Like, I mean, there, it's all like, you know, I don't know what she was expecting him to say in the first place. Like, what did she want him to say that was more of a respectable movie? Like, does it have to be something that wasn't on the Disney Channel? Does it have to be something that was like made back in like, did he have to say like Shawshank Redemption? Like, I don't know what she was looking for here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe she wants to talk a deep intellectual, like discussion about the Oscar winners over the past few years. But I don't know.
She's like, obviously, like I said, she's Jasmine is very much canceled for this. Yeah. But on the bright side, I made a new best friend in Tomas. I hope he's the one guy listening to your podcast from this cast. I hope he's never going to beat you up because
the two of us need to
connect. And then I'm going to bring in Kayla from Big Brother Canada, who has videos while she was in the house. Videos came out of her singing one of the songs from the movie. So Kayla, Tomas, and myself are. Hello. You're trying to kick me out of this equation?
Well, we're going to
be the three best friends
together
that anybody ever had.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you guys could be a perfect. You could be like Natalie, Paulie, and
I guess they could
Cara.
Be like, I guess like Tomas and Kayla could be Troy and Gabriella, and I could be Kelsey at the piano, and we'll all duet together.
Hey, Matt, take what you can get in this case. You know, they're both, I feel like that'd be a great, like, you guys would have so much fun together.
Yes, all right. And my blood pressure's coming
Jasmine
back down.
Jasmine is canceled, though, for sure. Jasmine is definitely canceled, like, Are You the One should be after that segment. So obviously, they both don't agree on High School Musical, not a perfect match, clearly. That's one, I feel like the significant other, like, meter in life. Do you like High School Musical? The answer is yes, and the other person's answer is yes.
If I was ever, like,
you're gonna get together.
If I was ever talking to somebody who said, like, anything negative about High School Musical, you can bet that I would be like in my car driving home within seconds. Like, it's not debatable. Like, you don't have to like, you don't have to know it. You don't have to like it or love it or whatever. But like, if you're automatically on the negative side of it, like, no, no.
Well, rightfully so. Like, I feel like if you had any other response, I'd be pretty disappointed.
Yes.
So if you're on a date with someone and they're like, yeah, High School Musical sucks, you just say, well, excuse me. And then you leave your money on the table and you get out.
Yeah, as if I'm paying for that. No, they can
handle
it. Yeah,
bill. Exactly. Yeah, screw them, right? You know what you should do? Leave a copy of High School Musical.
Soar and fly and
right
the hell out of there.
Boom, bitch. I love it. So let me know if that ever happens to you. I feel like it's probably unlikely because everyone loves High School Musical. But if you're ever on a date with someone who has similar beliefs to Jasmine, then get the hell out of there.
Have you ever played High School Musical in your earphones while you were at the gym with Quasi?
No, but I have played Glee, and I feel like that's
definitely played Glee while I was running.
Glee's high, but I feel like Glee could hype you up, and I'm not saying High School Musical can't, but like, yes. I feel like Glee can also hype you up.
Like, I have 100% put on Glee. I've put on like Rocky Horror while I.
Oh yeah, that's come on. That's gonna hype anyone up.
Yes.
Like, and see, somehow Matt, we end up talking about Glee on the podcast. Like, look, we're
that's
here,
all.
Here
I,
here
that's
are.
All I wanted. Like, I wrote that down in my notes. I really hope Glee comes up. I really hope.
Oh God, we're not gonna get into too deep into the Glee podcast. That'll be for a whole another happy hour.
Yes.
So I don't. This is the best part about this whole podcast is. This is why I can't lead a podcast, because we talk about the most ridiculous things, and then I'm like, screw my notes, and I'm like not even on the right tab anymore. Where am I?
I don't know. So, we're probably up to
we're on
the
date, right?
We're
on the date. There you go. We're on the date. Okay, so then this is my favorite part. So Cam and Jasmine are like start making out, and it cuts to this.
Cam sucks.
That was funny. Oh yeah, Cam is terrible too.
Cam is awful.
So, but now Jasmine is. They both have awful beliefs. So
yeah, seriously,
right?
Wow, this is a match. They are made for each other.
I can see. I actually do think they're a match.
Oh
after
my God.
This whole situation.
I didn't even put that together.
Right, and then it cuts to a sad shot of Quasi thinking about God knows what. And this is like my favorite shot from the episode. He's staring into the distance in the house, looking super sad. And you gotta feel for the guy. Like, I know he's made some mistakes prior to this. I know, like, me and Ali have been brutally honest with what he's done and how he's treated the girls. And he's been kind of a douche. But I do feel for him in this moment. I feel like, oh my God, this guy, like, has no idea the girl he really likes is making out with someone. So I did feel bad for him that moment, but then we're not far off from the Quasi explosion of 2018. So do you think that at the end of the day, Cam is going to be matched with Jasmine, since we find out very soon that he's not matched with Samantha?
I don't know that point about what you just said before. That's pretty convincing, and I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, these beams have not been you know, they haven't been getting too many. They've been doing some weird things lately at the match, at the ceremonies, to try different combinations. I have no idea. Have Cam and Jasmine sat together yet? I don't know. I don't have the chart in front of me.
I don't know, honestly.
Cam and Jasmine. No, that's too much work. But
yeah, no.
Actually, no, it's not too much work. No, they have not sat together.
How did you find that so quickly?
Because I had it open on the other tab, and I just remembered as I was talking to you.
Ah, Wikipedia.
Jasmine has, yeah, she sat with Mo, Lewis, Quasi, Tevin, Quasi, Mo, Quasi. So they have not sat together yet.
I think I could see them in the near future sitting together. Yeah, right? I mean, well, there's only two left now, so we don't
and
know.
I guess like it does kind of not make sense if this storyline came out of absolutely nowhere, where you know the two of them connected, and then you know obviously Quasi's not very happy about this, but like we were saying, you know, a few minutes ago, it does seem like production probably put a match in this group date, so it and you know it makes more sense that it would be these two rather than Sam and X.
Yes, Sam and Blake. I agree with you. Yep, I agree. So then we go back to the house. Cam's like, I kiss Jasmine. And Quasi, I didn't know the magnitude of how mad he was, but you could see in his eyes, like, even when they showed group shots, dude, he was furious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And wouldn't even look up. Like, did you notice how upset he was? Like, just even, like, beyond just being normally mad?
Because, I mean, I imagine that, like, the two of them, you know, Quasi and Jasmine probably talked before the date. Like, yeah, this isn't really anything. Like, you know, I'm just like, I don't want to go when I have to do this or whatever. And then, you know, he gets they get back from the date. He finds out this. So I do feel like he was just totally blindsided, didn't see it coming. And, you know, we saw what happens next.
Yeah. So I agree with you completely. And I'm sure they had a discussion and I'm sure she was like, no, you're good. Like, 'cause she even said, like, I'm not doing anything wrong. But I do know where you're coming from, so I do feel like they had to kind of talk about it. But we go into the truth booth. It ends up being Sam and Cam, and we've admitted this numerous times in the whole podcast. So if you're looking for a spoiler, you've got them plenty before this. They obviously aren't a perfect match. In theory, not a bad choice, but I think that it makes sense that they're not a perfect match. Get back to the house, and this is where the real fireworks start to happen. So eventually, what's her name? Jasmine. She goes to talk with Quasi. And they sit down, and he keeps saying that in real life this happened. Like, oh, what if this happened in real life? Like, I wouldn't rock with you. If this happened in real life, I wouldn't be with you. But we keep reiterating, this is not real life. This is Are You the One? What she did, yes, I understand why it would hurt him. It makes complete sense why it'd get him upset. But at the end of the day, she didn't do anything wrong. It's Are You the One?
Yeah.
However, if she did have a conversation with him prior to going on the date and said, look, I don't want to go. I'm with you. I'm not going to do anything. If she swore up and down and promised, even if it's not wrong for what she did, I can understand why it would hurt him. Like, I get why it would hurt him. And as we continue to open up into how upset he is and, like, how I mean, even if it's wrong, how angry he is at the situation, I think you could see that he's there to really find someone. And I think this actually showed some vulnerability with him. And I understand that it was handled very poorly on his part, but yelling and screaming like a maniac wasn't the best bet. But I actually did like seeing that he actually cared about her, and he was really upset that she kissed another guy. And as long as he doesn't do anything too bad, you know, and kind of cross a line.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the whole situation?
I think we might have touched on this earlier. It just seemed like Quasi hasn't really, like, connected with anyone really in the house. Like, I feel like, you know, there was maybe something with Asia, like, earlier, if recalling correctly. But it just feels like, you know, the first person that he's actually developed feelings for is obviously Jasmine. So, you know, this is heartbreaking to him. And I don't know, I feel bad because Jasmine starts, like, kind of getting mad at herself about it. She's just like, I had a good situation and I ruined it. But, like, did you really, though? Because, you know, at the end of the day, if they're not a perfect match, and, like, if she was smart enough to identify the fact that, like, you know, like, because I'm sure that they're all very well aware in the house that whoever gets picked for these group dates, there's, you know, a good chance there's usually a match in there. And she's probably thinking, like, okay, well, there's a good chance maybe I am with Cam. Maybe Quasi is not my match. So what is she going to do? Like, if she's on the date with him, you know, she played the game. She did her job. She, you know, she found a connection with somebody else. So I don't like the fact that she was so upset at herself about it. But, you know, she got back and Quasi's just, you know, blowing up and freaking out because he's so upset. So I guess that just rubbed off on her. And obviously she was upset about the fact that she hurt his feelings and blah, 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 blah. But geez, not a pretty situation.
No, and I think, like, it gets to the point where it's, like, kind of beyond, like, funny, like, at the end of the real tale of the episode, where Lewis was giving the confessional. Quasi's screaming, like not even just yelling anymore. He's like screaming at the top of his lungs, like he's getting like hurt. Right. And he's like, I hate this. I'm not here for these dubs. I don't know what he's calling it. Like, I don't know exactly what he's saying. Lewis stops his confessional. And it cuts to Quasi crying into a producer's arms. I don't think I've ever seen this where like he was hunched over, like somebody just like punched him in the stomach.
Yeah. It was like straight out of The Challenge. Like when production steps in and they have to like, you know, it's usually them being held back by security members in production. It's not usually them crying into production's arms. So that was a very different, you know, something that we haven't really seen before. But man, that was insane.
Yeah. And like I said, he's definitely handling this really wrong. He's not right in any sense of the word. I understand your emotions are running high in that situation. So like I felt for the guy. Like I was like, oh man, like I don't like seeing anyone that sad.
Yeah.
I just think he didn't expect Jasmine to do that, and she's not wrong, but I think he didn't expect it.
I don't know.
And
I feel like there could have been something more there. Like there's something else going on in his head that it's not just like, or there's just more that we didn't see, like a conversation between the two of them. Like we were speculating that like maybe they talked earlier and like reaffirmed their feelings for each other. And then like, you know, all of that happened within a matter of hours and he just completely lost it. And, you know, they're in the house for how long by now, you know, probably like a couple of weeks. And they're just, you know, like we said, he's probably not connecting with everybody else as much as he's connecting with Jasmine. So it was just, it was tough to see. Like you said, it's like, you never want to see anybody get that upset about something. But like crying into the producer's arms, like that's just, we haven't seen that before.
You want a relationship in life like Quasi and the producer. Like she was just super there for him and just was like, had his back fully. So I feel like that's what everyone strives for in a significant other.
You know, someone's what it probably is? Like, I don't know how we didn't think about this sooner. Like, do you think that when they got back, Tomas talked to Quasi and was like, hey, just so you know, like she really doesn't like High School Musical. And then Quasi was like, you know what?
Yes.
Like, I'm just going to pretend that I'm upset about the kiss, but you know, I'm really upset about this. And I hope we get that next week. I hope we get that conversation and Quasi joins the right side of this.
That is exactly what's going to happen. And I'm really good when we could like play this back for people after the episode. And we told you.
Yeah.
We knew it was going to happen.
Didn't see this one coming, Reddit.
Nope, but we did. Oh, Reddit, they love me. So we'll talk. We'll definitely talk to Reddit. But that's the episode, Matt. That was only 55 minutes. I feel like we made pretty good time here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I only lost my mind like six times, so that's fine.
Yeah. No, that's
it doesn't happen on Big Brother. I mean, like I've been talking about this a lot recently about like my love for The Challenge has been growing so much. And it's not that like my love for the other shows, you know, the CBS ones has been like diminishing, but like Survivor, you know, hit like a pretty weak period for 35 and 36. It's been a great season so far. Don't get me wrong. And then Big Brother is, you know, we had a great season, but it's like, I don't know. I just like I hadn't been on board with the MTV shows up until like the past few years. And like now that I found them, I feel like I don't know how I was missing this my entire life. And I'm so happy to be here, like because this is just like you, when you're watching Big Brother, you know, sometimes you're like, especially if you're like a feeder, whatever, like you're sometimes like, oh, like give them alcohol. Yes. Like we want to see them go crazy. But like MTV shows are the version of that where like they always have the alcohol. Yeah. It's always these insane people and they always have the alcohol. So it's just like, if you're watching Big Brother and you're waiting for them to get crazy, like just watch the MTV versions of these reality shows. They are good.
I'm glad you gave that testament because I couldn't agree more. I feel like it's especially like with when Big Brother's on, you get to watch it all the time. Like there's never downtime, minus competitions. But for the most part, there's always something to watch. Mm-hmm. When the Survivor's on, like I feel like the Survivor and Big Brother go hand in hand. But there's still a lot of downtime because it's once a week and then the content's not as frequent. So I really like when like the fall comes around because there is The Challenge, which is always on. There's Are You the One, which is just as crazy. And like, yeah, your Bachelor shows and things like that. But there is a lot to watch. And I'm glad you, as a Big Brother and Survivor fan, you're able to give that testament.
Yeah. And it's just the MTV shows are like, they might like, you know, The Challenge has been a ridiculously long season, but like I personally have been very entertained like every step of the way with this season. I've been loving it. At, like I said, this season of Are You the One, I've really been enjoying, you know, like I said, I know that there's like it did initially bother me when the season started and I'm like, wait, we're not getting competitions anymore. Like that's kind of that ruins the fun of this. But I mean, it's like it's kind of like Survivor with the reward challenges. It's like, you know, they cut those out just so they could get more time of the cast talking to each other and interacting with each other and these big fights and blowups and all that stuff. So if you get the right cast, you don't need to throw in all the extra stuff because they're naturally going to give you good television. And I just feel like that's what we have here with this season 7 cast. I feel like they, you know, they had a long time to find this cast because, you know, they weren't even sure, yeah. I guess, if they were going to do a season 7. So they found the people that they were looking for. And it's been a great show so far.
I'm glad really you like it because I think it always comes to play. I figure you never disappoints. I'm sure there's going to be time in the near future because last season when we ended towards the end, Allie couldn't do some podcasts. So if we need a replacement, I'm going to be going to you again. So I usually with Allie usually gets questions. I completely forgot about that. She also says to leave 5-star reviews in some place where I don't know where exactly that is. Yeah, you know, definitely. Right? Oh, like you're. I usually thought there was a link, but you're probably right. Just go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review.
Like I think that's where you give reviews. Like, I'm pretty sure.
Not the place. That's like that's still gonna help. No, you're or maybe you're not. Probably
I guess
right.
Like then again,
you're right.
Well, because like that's on like Apple, but like there's plenty of other places where you can download your RHAP podcast. Yeah. So I don't know. There's probably other places. I think
that's where I honestly, if I were to leave a review, I would go. So go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review.
Yeah, like what are you guys waiting for? Like what are you guys waiting for if you're out there listening and you haven't dropped that 5-star?
Maybe they're waiting
review
for yet. Like more. I was gonna say make an inappropriate joke, but I said maybe more High School Musical. See, that's not inappropriate. That's appropriate.
Yes, I mean. Let's go for another hour talking about High School Musical because I could go for the next 24.
You should do like a rewatch, yes. And like have like just do it on right like or do a podcast on it.
Well, see that's what Allie was talking about last week and how her and I have talked about you know sometimes when you like start covering the things yes. that you love so much it just kind of like takes the fun out of it. So like I don't know if I can do that for High School Musical. I need to like always have that pure love in my heart and not feel like it's like a job.
Exactly. You know podcasters making bank. But yeah, Matt, thank you so much for joining me. If you want to find me on social media,
yes,
no problem.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to find me on social media, it's at Adam Bongo. Matt, if you want to find you on social media, where do they go?
Twitter, at Matt Liguori.
How do you spell Liguori? How do you spell Liguori? You gotta, be clear.
How do you spell Liguori? Liguori. I don't really have a ton of Artie the One tweets, but maybe after this, we'll start the
last
two
episodes.
Yeah, you don't
have to. It's okay. I don't think I've ever tweeted about Artie the One.
Yeah, I don't see anyone live tweeting
not that
either
show.
One, but Challenge and Survivor are going strong right now.
Exactly.
So let's
follow
have fun.
Matt. And by the way, I didn't know how to spell your last name. I want to make that very clear. And why were you going to question me? Do you think I didn't?
I would not be surprised if you showed me your phone and my
I
last name.
I
want to
see if your last
wrong.
Name's even in my phone. I think you're the only Matt I know. So I think that's.
What am I just
nope,
Matt RHAP?
Nope, no.
I hate when people do that.
That's
I hate when
is.
I like when I'm like at work and I see my like my friends at work and they're like my last name is like the name.
Yeah,
of
that's
the place
annoying. I would
at.
Never do that. It's Matt L.
What is it?
And I must have put this on your phone. It probably was years ago. So well, it had to be years ago. Yeah, two
years ago. Back in the old days,
2016. But Matt, thank you so much. And I guess I'll be back with Allie next Thursday. Unless honestly, she might just give you the podcast. We might both just give you the podcast at this point. But we'll keep you guys posted. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you then.
Bye, guys.